Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday, match day Wednesday as well. Atlanta United take on Inter Miami tonight. Jason Longshore going to join us at 1:20 and get into what they need to do to bounce back, man. They did not have a good performance over the weekend, and I know they won the game a couple weeks ago against Nashville, but really haven't played good soccer in a while. So you know, maybe tonight's the night where they can start working in the right direction. I thought Joe Patrick had an interesting tweet, Randy, earlier today. And you know Joe, troublemaking Joe, always starting something.
Always.
He
looking for trouble. That's why we were talking yesterday. I mean, about him and, you know, they got into on their the Batter Up podcast that him, Willie P, and Caleb do. They got into a little heated exchange. And I was wondering if there was some fisticuffs thrown. Yeah.
If Joe Patrick, Willie P, and Caleb got into a fist fight, every man for himself, who you got? Mm-hmm.
I'll go with Caleb, because Caleb the quiet one. And quiet folks, they the crazy. We said this earlier this week. Quiet folks scare you, because they crazy as hell. Like, what are you thinking about so much that you can't talk?
That's a great question. Because you know what? One thing Willie P is not is quiet.
At all.
He's the opposite of Caleb. Like, yes. Where Caleb kind of sit there thinking, you're wondering what's going on in his mind. You know what Willie P is thinking about because he literally tells you. Like,
yes.
he's telling you everything that he's thinking.
And Joe P is in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Anyway, what Joe had tweeted out was, he didn't really know exactly who Atlanta United is right now. Like, what is the identity of this team? What hat on? I think that's a great question. Like,
it is.
Even under Frank DeBoer, when they weren't playing great, or if you didn't love watching everything that they did, their identity was that they were going to try to dominate possession, and they were going to use that to their advantage. They were going to press a little bit, but not great. But they were going to be a possession-based team. Under Tata, obviously, you knew what their identity was. I don't know what their identity is right now.
I don't either. But, I mean, and I know Joe P threw that out there looking for trouble because, you know, them Atlanta, them United streets is even funnier because all you got is American soccer guy talking about Maradona, what he did in 88, whatever. So that's why I leave it alone. But I would love to see that fight because one thing about it, Willie P look like he'll cut you. Willie P look like he got one of them old switchblades that in his back pocket. And will start to slice you across your nipple or something, man.
What the hell,
just
man?
Take you out.
The nipple?
Yeah. That sounds like it hurt.
That would be terrible. It would hurt a lot.
You see Joe P walk around with a patch over his chest because Willie P done sliced him?
I don't know. I hope not. I don't know. We don't need knife fights at 92.9 The Game. All right, here's what else is coming up in the noon hour. None of that type of stuff with Wes Durham. Wes Durham's going to join us and just talk about the Atlanta Falcons, as he is the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. And we haven't gotten a chance to talk to Wes in really all summer. Probably haven't talked to Wes since, I don't know, we might have talked some college football with him back in February or March or something like that. But it's been a long time. And I have to imagine for Wes, who, I mean, is a football play-by-play man and comes from a play-by-play family, there was a time this summer where he wondered if there was going to be football at all, if there was going to be the Falcons games, if there was going to be ACC football games, and if he was going to be spending his weekends in the fall the way that he normally does. Well, now he's just a couple days away from getting to get back in the booth and call games, not only for the Falcons, but for the ACC network. So I would imagine he's feeling pretty good, pretty excited about being able to get back in there. And we'll talk some Falcons, maybe sneak in a college question or two with Wes coming up in about 20 minutes. We will get to some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt coming up at 12:40 as well. And like we said, Jason Longshore, as he always does, joins us on Wednesdays at 1:20. It's match day, so we'll talk to Jason then. With all that said, let's kick off the noon hour with the most important audio in the world, brought to you by Johnson & Alday Injury Attorneys. Visit johnsonalday.com.
Alday!
Love the composure and the mound presence. I mean, is the confidence. He just keeps throwing strikes, you know, and I just sitting there, and when he gets in trouble, he doesn't panic. He just, you know, he just keeps pitching. He's a, you know, a very mature looking kid to me, you know.
Yeah.
as a young pitcher, he's got a great demeanor. Like I say, he slows the game down, it looks like, and that's a lot of really good things when you watch him out there.
That's Brian Snitker talking about, I don't know if you can call him a rookie sensation yet, but a guy who's made two very good starts in his first two starts in his career, and Ian Anderson, 2-0, by the way. So now the Braves starting pitching rotation has two wins outside of Max Fried, and Ian Anderson has both of them. He goes 6 innings last night, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. That's been a nice thing about him so far, Randy, is 12 innings, 3 walks, striking guys out. Got into a little bit of trouble last night here and there and was able to work his way out of it both times. And looks like a guy who's ready for the big stage, which is good news because he's now the number two starter in the Braves rotation.
Yep.
Two starts in, Ian. All right, you're the number two starter. You're our guy.
Yeah.
If we go to a playoff series, you are starting game two.
Well, I mean, and these are the expectations that we had for him, even though we didn't see him. You just heard good things about him. He's one of those guys where I'm pretty sure, 100% sure, when they were trying to trade for another starting pitcher, he was thrown in every conversation because,
yep,
you know, they look at him as, you know, as a solid, you know, possibly front of the line starting potential. And, you know, for him to go out there and, like you said, Bunk, he did get in some trouble, but he was able to keep his composure and keep pitching. And I love what you said when we discussed him earlier in the show. You know, he didn't, when he missed, he didn't miss over the plate. He didn't miss somewhere where it can be right next to the restaurant by the Raggedy Chicken. But he kept the ball down in the zone and did all those things. And I was just pleased what I had to see. And right now, he's the number two guy right now until otherwise. We don't get to see him again until, what, Sunday? We don't get to see him again until Sunday.
Sunday.
And so I'm excited about that. But, yeah, I appreciated the young man's effort last night. And, you know, he's going to have some downs. We do know that. Just we don't know when that's going to happen. But the expectation is that he's going to be a good pitcher for a long time for the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, and this is it. This is when they hype the prospects the way that they do, and when they're unwilling to trade prospects to get name guys, which, again, in many cases in Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves' history over the last couple of years has worked out because guys have come up and been successful, then the expectation is when they get here, they do this. You don't hoard prospects and miss out on trades, and then guys – and the frustrating thing is some of these young pitchers haven't. Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson and Sean Newcomb and – you know, and Tuki Toussaint and a lot of these guys have been really, really disappointing this season with the opportunity to grab this role in a Braves rotation that's a disaster. I mean, it's just been decimated by injuries and opt-outs and bad luck and bad pitching, if you're talking about Folty and Sean Newcomb. Tuki had a chance to take his spot in the rotation. Didn't do it. Kyle Wright had a chance to take his spot in the rotation. Didn't do it. Bryce Wilson hasn't had that chance yet, but Ian Anderson's gotten two starts, and he's been really good. And that's what you want to see. You want to see guys, when they get these opportunities, take those opportunities and get into the rotation. And Anderson is that now. He's in there for, I don't know, the rest of the season. Two starts is good enough for me. You're in there. You are in the rotation until the playoffs come around, and hopefully he can keep it up. Now, the other big story from last night was Marcell Ozuna. 3 homers, first National League player to go into Fenway Park and hit 3 home runs in a game before. Fenway Park's been standing since 1902 or something like that. So that's a hell of a 1919. I don't know. It's been there for a long time. Here's Ozuna after the game.
In the pandemic, in the pure pandemic, I got my family. They always get on me like, go work out. Earlier, I didn't work out. Like I lose it like a month. Sit down at my home, chill. Like happy, have my kids and then play with my kids. And be with my family, like celebrate. You know, like a Latin people always celebrate everything. So I be in that bar, like chill, eat. So as soon as I saw the time get closer. I go in training and get my shoulder getting better. So working in the gym, hitting, those kind of stuff.
Marcelo Ozuna sounds awesome.
He seems,
he seems like the coolest guy in the world.
He gets it in.
Yeah.
He is a like three button open linen shirt sweating flip flops with some linen pants on dancing dude that just gets hammered. That's what he looks like. He looks and I you think I ain't like that cat before?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, my family was trying to convince me to work out during the pandemic. The first month, I didn't do anything.
Hung out with my
friends.
You know, he was at the house chilling, sitting on a damn bean bag with a Corona and a Corona and a shot of damn tequila. That's what he was doing. Chilling.
Yeah. God, that's so awesome. And then, you know, all right, the season might start back up. Maybe I'll get in the gym a little bit, work on my shoulder.
All right, let me go work out.
By the way.
All right, baby.
That exactly right there is the answer that I give to everybody who wants Felix Hernandez back. Because everyone, I've been getting tweets about it with all the Braves pitching situations is, what's up with Felix? Would he opt back in? There is a and I'm not joking, there is a 0% chance that Felix Hernandez has worked out since he opted out. And I have that, I've talked to multiple people that know Felix Hernandez very well that covered him for over a decade. When I think it was when Soroka went down, I texted buddies that know him, and I said, "Hey, would Felix opt back in?" They said, "You don't even want him to opt back in." Since Felix decided not to play, everything Marcell Ozuna talked about right there, chilling with his family, going to the park, eating, and that's what Felix has been doing. He would hurt himself if he tried to throw a baseball right now.
With them white loafers on that Brian just sent him. With them loafers, man. Just I'm talking about, you know, dude. Not everybody has ever seen our homeboy do it. He is CCV. That's him. Dancing hard as hell and sweating. Oh, man.
It's that thick sweat, too.
And it's that thick sweat, too. You know that one where you can't wipe it with your hand? No. I'm talking about the sweat that you need a damn wash rag for.
You need a towel.
You can't even use no damn regular paper towel. It'll just have white stuff on your face. You got to get you a thick towel. But
you got the John Thompson towel. You have to have the John Thompson towel. How hard they're sweating when they're partying. Absolutely right.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I'm glad he's here. He has brought some attitude. Seems like he's a real fun dude to play with. We see that he's doing the the Acuña thing around bases, everything since Acuña's been out. But he is in the perfect spot. Hopefully the NL will find a way to keep the DH, and hopefully maybe he can stay here.
So well, now you got to pony up now. I mean, Marcell Ozuna, he signed the 1-year deal because he wanted a big contract and he wasn't finding it because he was coming off injury and, you know, teams didn't trust him. He's on pace. If this was a regular season, 162-game season, he's on pace to hit 50 home runs in a regular season. Like, Marcell Ozuna is going to get paid this offseason. Now, we said last year, Randy, and I don't know, maybe I cursed it by saying this, I wanted Josh Donaldson to play so well the Braves couldn't re-sign him.
Right.
I regret saying that because I wanted the Braves to re-sign him.
Play well, then you don't want him to re-sign him.
Exactly, and he did. He played great, and now he's gone, and it actually worked out that they didn't re-sign him because he's been injured in Minnesota, and they got Ozuna, and he's been great. Sign Ozuna. Let him be your designated hitter for the next 3 or 4 years. And then if he's really good, sign him again.
How old is he?
Perfectly with this team. I think he's 32.
Okay.
I'll look it up. Okay. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is now that he's doing well, these 1-year deals are great. He's 29. My bad. 29 years old. These 1-year deals are frustrating if they come in, they ball out like Donaldson did, and then they go someplace else. Don't let Ozuna be that. Don't let him be Donaldson. Let him be right in the middle of your lineup as a designated hitter for the next handful of years and surround him with Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna and Austin Riley and all these other guys that can hit the baseball. Maybe someday Drew Waters. I love it. He's phenomenal. All right, like we said, it's match day for Atlanta United. Here's Carlos Bocanegra from earlier in the week talking about what went wrong over the weekend.
Well, really what jumped out to me is that we've shown we're not in a rhythm. Orlando's played a handful more games than we have. They had a good showing down in the MLS's back tournament. So they got to get in a little bit of a rhythm. They played their game on the Wednesday night when, obviously all the others were postponed. So they came in, they've done a good job under Oscar. They've had their group together the whole year, and they did a good job against us. I hate to, but I've got to give them credit. They're much improved, and
no, we don't.
They were a good side the other night.
They were better than Atlanta United over the weekend. It wasn't a fluke. They outplayed them.
Yeah, I like Carlos, man. We don't get credit, though. This ain't no rivalry. They got luck. They lucked up.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't call what happened on Saturday luck.
No, they got after it. They got after it. I ain't going to lie. I can't even lie. But it don't matter. I ain't giving Orlando no credit at all. Only thing I'm giving Orlando credit for is being able to host the NBA in the bubble situation. That's it. I ain't giving them no damn credit.
We'll talk to Jason Longshore more about Atlanta United coming up at 1:20. Speaking of the NBA and the bubble, Game 7 last night between the Jazz and the Nuggets. Maybe not the greatest game ever played, but came down to a hell of a finish. Here's Donovan Mitchell after the game.
I didn't really know what else to do. I was exhausted. I just kind of just laid there. I don't know, man. That sucks. It'll be on my mind for a long time, and this kind of reminds me of last year going 4-23 from the field. That kind of fueled my entire season in Game 5 against Houston, in Houston, and fueled everything I did this year. It's just another thing to fuel me for next year. I'll be back.
Yeah, it was. Say again?
I said, should winning fuel you?
Winning can, I think, you know, anything can fuel you, right? Yeah. It just depends on how you interpret it and where you put the chip on your shoulder and all that kind of stuff. I do feel bad for him, though. He played his heart out. He played amazing in the series. Had a hell of a third quarter last night. Didn't have a great fourth quarter. But when that ball left Mike Conley's hand, what went through your mind?
I thought it was about to go in.
I thought it was going in for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was going in. But the thing with Donovan is he's eligible. He's about to sign a supermax with Utah. So good for him for one. Good for him for getting that money. I mean, and second of all, that he's willing to live in Utah. But that's. Salt Lake City, but that's neither here nor there.
Hey, man, if somebody paid you $150 million, you'd probably live in Utah, too.
You're damn right I would.
I'll live anywhere you want for $150 million.
Hey, man, I know they don't sell no liquor stores. I would quit drinking for $150.
There's a lot I would do for $150 million, no doubt. The Nuggets move on. That means we get to see Jamal Murray some more, which is fun. But a bummer of a finish for Utah
liquor,
yesterday.
Yeah. I'd import liquor. Yeah.
Yeah, just have it delivered. You have the money to buy it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. Haven't had a chance to talk to Wes in a while. The NFL season just around the corner. The voice of the Falcons joins us next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Wednesday. Match day for Atlanta United. We'll chat with Jason Longshore coming up in an hour from right now. We're less than 2 weeks away from the Falcons season starting, Randy. And
damn.
There was times during the summer where we didn't know. I mean, we always maintained optimism about the NFL, but there was times we didn't know. And we haven't talked to Wes Durham since draft week, so we're happy to welcome
when he called me out for smashing tall boys.
Yes, that's when it was. when the voice of the Falcons joined the show on the WadeFord.com hotline. So first and foremost, how are you, Wes? Nice to talk to you again. How you been the last few months?
Just trying to find out where new normal is and where we start. So it's going to be interesting, but yeah, we're ready to go and looking forward to a week from Sunday and seeing kind of what that looks like and, you know, trying to sort out. I was able to see the scrimmage last Friday inside the stadium, which was good. And, you know, and I probably echo a lot of the things Arch has probably said. I like the flexibility of this team. I like some of the depth they've got. I think some of their combinations, especially on defense, are going to be really intriguing to watch.
So, Wes, with that being said, because that's what we were talking about earlier before we got you on the show, is that you and Dave, y'all weren't calling the scrimmage. Y'all were just there in attendance like it would be a regular game?
Yeah, we were sitting in our booth, in fact, because of the way, you know, the things are now. We just said, hey, can we just sit in the booth? And believe it or not, I mean, I was sitting there going through mental reps as to what it was going to mean. I haven't done a game since the ACC basketball tournament in March, so – and haven't done a radio game since Deion Jones' pick six against Jameis Winston. So I needed to kind of brush up mentally as much as anything else. And, you know, I spent some pandemic time trying to polish the craft up a little bit, as they say, and just try and think about the way we're going to do games, because it's going to be different now. It's going to be a lot different for everybody, and we're no exception to that.
How are you guys doing the games, especially the road games? Are you traveling? Are you going to be doing them from the stadium? How's that going to work?
We are not. I mean, I don't know that this hasn't been announced, so I guess I'm breaking news to you here. We're not going to travel. We are going to, in conjunction with, obviously, Reggie and Sean there at the radio station, and Bo, who obviously does a tremendous job putting everything together for us, and the Falcons organization, we're going to be set up with a bank of monitors to do the games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So hopefully folks will understand, you know, and we're going to be pretty forthright about it, that, you know, we're not on site, but at the same time, we're going to do everything we can to try and deliver the product people have become accustomed to when we are on site. Now, for home games, it'll be just like normal, except no fans. And, you know, we're going to be down some personnel in our booth because, as you guys know, we've got some social distancing measures, of course, we have to consider as well, along with the other protocols that go into it. So, but for road games, Andy, yeah, we're not going to travel, at least for the time being. That, you know, obviously, I guess, has the potential to change as the year goes on. But right now, that's the way we're going to go for sure.
Going back to the scrimmage, Wes, when you were out there, when you and Dave were out there looking at it, who are a couple, because we know about the versatility. Give me a couple guys that just jumped off the screen. We know Julio and those guys, but some of those other guys, sure, we might not know, that you're looking forward to see how they contribute this year.
I think one of them, Randy, you're going to understand this because you know kind of the guy's value. Darquez Dennard fascinates me defensively. Mm-hmm. Because I think he's the kind of guy that can come in and help them at a couple different areas, whether this, you know, 4-2-5 becomes, you know, common ground for them. And again, remember, they were nickel a ton last year, probably two-thirds of their snaps they were nickel. But Dennard is a guy who, you know, I just envision lining up a lot of different places. I don't think we can, you know, really give away just how valuable he might be. I think the other guy, you know, believe it or not, in looking at Charles Harris, I just think he, and I'll throw Hayden Hurst into this too, okay? I just think those two guys are better fits here than they were at their previous address. How's that? I mean, I just think once Joe Flacco was gone in Baltimore, Hayden Hurst was not as valuable a piece to what the Ravens ultimately were going to be. And for Charles Harris, I think you're seeing a guy who might be understanding the finality of this is real if he's not, you know, if he's not careful. So we'll see how it plays out here in the next week or so. But they've obviously got to make some tough decisions this week. And then the other part that I'll throw in here is, you know, and I know Arch has probably already talked about Jalen Hawkins. I think somebody like a Jalen Hawkins, because of his understanding and his athleticism, and that's the other thing that pops off the page to me, Randy, is how athletic these guys are. I mean, the athleticism, and you say, well, everybody in the NFL can run, Wes. There's a lot of guys on this team that can really run and get to places in space that I think is going to help them a ton, too.
Well, Wes, we've talked about every rookie now at this point, and Jalen Hawkins and Michael Walker being drafted a little bit later. It sounds like even they are going to have a role on this team. It's fair to say this rookie class is going to contribute quite a bit to this team, isn't it?
I think so. I think, you know, certainly you look at A.J. Terrell, you look at Matt Hennessy, those would be the headliners, right? Mm-hmm. I think you look at Hawkins, you look at Michael Walker. You know, I think there are places for Marlon Davidson to certainly get on the field in the first year and help this team. I think personally that's one of the things that you look at and say, okay, you know, kind of how does all this fit? You know, it's going to be interesting. I think that's part of the fun of this, believe it or not. And I know people may say, well, that's, you know, kind of the minutia. Well, it really is. That's kind of where this minutia is. And, you know, you figure out, well, you know, like Sterling Hoffrichter, you know, they drafted him in the seventh round for a reason. Number one, I did several of his college games. The guy's got the ability to, you know, to kind of walk the fine line on pinning people, but he's also got a cannon for a leg. So, you know, that's something we haven't seen. No disrespect to Bosher, but Bosher was a guy who you looked at his net before you looked at his gross when it came to his punting average. And think about what the special teams concept could be if you had a guy that could literally change the end of the field every time he struck it at the offense, which I still think will be pretty good, you know, if falters at any point.
Wes brought up a punter. I be dog.
Hey, man, they drafted a punter, and it's exciting. We're all excited about it, Randy.
Randy, yeah. Punters are people too now. Don't go with that route. You know, come on. Don't act like you haven't appreciated a punter at one time or another in your career.
One of my favorite teammates to this day is a punter, Mike Five. But Mike Five was cool, Rhys. Like, Mike Five, he was a punter, but he acted like a linebacker.
Sterling Hopper until, is cool, too.
There you go.
Until people started running at him, then he would run the other way. But that's neither here nor there. Hey, Wes, the young defensive backfield, because you mentioned A.J. Terrell. We're trying to figure out who's going to start opposite of him because we're pretty sure he's going to be the starter. But I want to talk to you about this three safety look that's a possibility. We had DeMonte KZ on, and he was saying they have three starting safeties. What do you make of that right there?
I think he's telling you the absolute truth. KZ, Neal, and Ricardo Allen are three starting safeties in this league, and that's kind of why I've been talking about the 4-2-5 a little bit, because with Debo and Foyer at the linebacking spot, and then you get the four guys up front in whatever combination you want to go with. And see, there's where I introduced the Darquez Denard factor in this, because, you know, think about it. If you elect to go five and you need some run support, then Denard becomes kind of like another box safety guy, right? I mean, see, that's the part about him that I think is intriguing as to the fit in Atlanta. And, you know, for all of DQ's career, we've tended to drift back to, you know, the stuff that went on in Seattle, right? And rightly so, because he coordinated a great defense in Seattle. But think about for a moment just kind of how all the fits have come together in the last few years for him in terms of what the secondary is and things like that. And especially in the middle of the field. Think about the middle of the field where you got Grady in the middle, you got Grady up front, you got Debo in the, you know, kind of in the middle of the field, and then now we're talking about three safeties, by the way, which are three quality players, but all very different players too, right? I mean, in Key and DeMonte KZ, you get an entirely different concept than what you get with Rico Deep. So I think that's also important to remember too.
I've asked everybody that's gotten a chance to see Keanu Neal in person how he looks. I know you were there for the scrimmage, so you're one of those folks. How's he looking? How's he looking health-wise?
I think he looks really good for a guy that's less than a year off the injury. To me, and you know, this is the thing that struck me about those guys, and I know it was mentioned earlier when they got to camp, but the physical condition that most of these guys return in is admirable, given kind of what they all went through, right? The no OTAs, the no, you know, off-season programs, nothing structured, I should say. These guys all made a commitment, it's clear, to stay in shape and kind of do the right thing. I mean, if you follow any of them on Instagram, you saw, you know, a lot of guys really kind of putting in the work. I know Ricardo Allen looked like he had a garage workout at least, a garage or basement workout once or twice a day. And I think that's a pretty good standard for this team to be measured. Plus, here's the other thing too, Andy and Randy. There's something about these guys kind of being thrown in like behind New Orleans and this romance with Tampa that's underway, right? That, oh, by the way, Atlanta, they're pretty good too. They got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Grady. It's almost like they're the last two sentences of the paragraph before you move on to another division, right? And somehow or another, I think that's a lot of fuel for this crowd as they get ready to take the field a week from Sunday.
Well, we can't wait. I know you can't, too. We're looking forward to our chats every single week as well throughout the football season. Wes, thanks so much.
Thank you, Wes.
All right, guys, take care. Anytime, you bet. Look forward to it.
Wes Durham there, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons right here on 92.9 The Game. Again, Wes is going to join us throughout the season.
That's what I was curious about, because him and Dave are in their national booth. So that's what I'm saying, because usually it's Miller and Squid in there, and they usually have a spotter. I'm like, so who's going to be in and out? I was curious about that.
By the way, Miller Pope.
My main man.
Up for the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame.
Did
Look
you
at that.
See that?
Rightfully so, by the way.
Dude, I don't think the only thing you can ever say bad about Miller Pope is nothing.
There you go.
He took all the damn cigars that one time.
I got nothing bad to say about him. We'll come back. We'll get to some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt. Thanks again to Wes Durham. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a hump day Wednesday, match day Wednesday as well. And Jason Longshore joins us at 1:20 to talk some Atlanta United. Get back into what's trending coming up in 20 minutes, Randy, at the top of the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
In case anything's broken during the show.
Did you just see? No, I'm talking about Wendy, crazy self. You see what somebody just sent us in our mentions about Pity?
No.
Yeah, just go look at it. I don't want to say it over the air. Now, just go look at it. Somebody said about Pity.
Oh.
But Yeah, it's gonna be a fun. You know, again, thanks to Rex Durham. I just love sitting there talking to Wes, even though he was a Jacket one time. Well, he was a Jacket commentator.
Yeah, but he's got love for Georgia Tech. There's no question about it.
Oh, he got undeniable love for that school.
Like me. Not maybe I don't have as much as he does, but yeah, me and Wes share that.
Yeah, you know, what I almost forgot?
What?
That you were a damn Georgia, that you were a fan.
I don't know that I would say that I'm a fan, but I like Georgia Tech, like I've said.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
I've always liked them. Ever since I was a kid, I've always liked them. Great colors. They had awesome basketball teams. From afar, the triple option was fun to watch. It was less fun when I got here to Atlanta because I realized that it was sort of isolating them from some of the great talent in the surrounding area. But, yeah, I like Georgia Tech. Bobby Dodd's a fun place to watch a game. All that.
Mm-hmm.
All that, man. All that's true. Whatever. Hey, I just did want to mention something because it was a sad day yesterday at the Bunker household, and I know that you're going to have a lot of sympathy for this and empathy, both. The bunting came down. September 1st, the bunting comes down, kind of signifying the end of
it summer. Came down or it is
comes
it down?
Down. We take it down. Yeah, we take it down.
Oh, okay. Okay. 1st.
It goes up the week before 4th of July, and it stays up throughout the summer, and then on September 1st, the bunting comes down, and that means that at some point this week, I got to go up in the attic and the fall decorations come out. So
y'all decorate your house for the fall? I forgot y'all do decorate your house for the fall.
Well, I wouldn't say y'all. I don't do a lot of
you. But, yeah, but it's y'all house. But I know, I get it.
Ashley's a big seasonal decorator, yeah.
Yes, I know that. But see, this is how we know when it's about to get fall, is our neighbor across the street. He has his, the big tree. When the leaves start coming down and changing, that's me like, damn it.
Yeah.
And then when she comes to me, she had talked to me on Monday about it. So when are we gonna close the pool? I was like, wow, damn. I hate when you say that, because when that happens, that means that it's that summer's almost over.
No, but that's the thing for me about living here is like when we lived in Boston, fall's right around the corner on September 1st. When we lived in Seattle, summer's over on September 1st. We live in Atlanta, Georgia, like. It was 90 degrees 23 days in September last year. Summer's not over with.
I'm hanging in there. I just want it to stay warm as possible.
It's hot. It's not warm. It's hot as hell outside. Right, still.
I haven't been outside yet. Well, I take it back. It was a little warm this morning because we had to go get the trash. I didn't think the trash man was coming. I forgot they were holding out for some more loot. I was like, oh yeah. Hey man, you know what? Don't even worry about it, fellas. Y'all get y'all's, all right? I just, put it in the truck and take it up here to the gas station.
Maybe they found out that you've been drinking Trulies. Maybe that's why the gas.
No. Nobody in the neighborhood got picked up yesterday, but they picked it up a little while ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, it was a strike?
I don't know.
Damn. All right. All right. We're 15 minutes away from getting back into what's trending. Let's get to Brian and some damn good questions.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dow 678 ESOG now.
Yes, it's permanent now. Got to have it every day. This is what you've done to yourself.
That was a D chord there. D chord for people interested in the guitar tabs online. That was a D.
So I'm glad you guys talked about all the seasonal stuff and taking down the bunting, and we're seeing all this pumpkin spice everything and Halloween stuff and spice. All that. And I'm usually one of those people, just like Randy's reaction right there. Like, oh, crap, here we go. It's, I'm sweating. It's 95 degrees out and, and we got pumpkin spice things. But I guess here's my question. This year, 2020, the way things have gone, do people get a pass just because it's like we got to celebrate something and enjoy something and maybe we can a little bit this fall?
Oh, no doubt about it, man. I mean, I think she bought a pumpkin spice candle, Andy, and Brian and Wendy.
Delightful.
Yes.
It's a great smell.
No, I hate it. Maybe I need to bring it back out.
It's a great smell 2 months from now.
Yeah, I hate it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I do.
I'll grant you this. It's too early for pumpkin spice. I agree with you on that. Yes.
But no, she bought them she bought them last year, man. She did. She bought them last fall, and I show hit them because of the stuff that I said about pumpkin spice on this radio station.
What'd you say?
And I was like, well, you remember how I was killing y'all about that pumpkin spice, all that other crap? And I was like, you know what? I can't let this. I can't allow this in my house as bad as I just talked about it. So yeah, they in the garage up under some blankets.
Wow, that is really a commitment. You are one thing that Randy is. He is committed to his conviction. Some people would say stubborn. But when you take a stance on something, you go the extra mile, which I appreciate. First of all, I don't think anybody needs a pass to enjoy fall festivities any year, whether it's 2020, 2019, 2021, whatever.
Just wait until fall.
Fall is beautiful. Fall foliage, Halloween, pumpkin spice, whatever. Have a heyday with it. But yeah, I think this year will be extra special because, I don't know, I didn't think there was going to be football. So it looks like there's going to be, and I'm really excited about that. There's not going to be Pac-12 football. And again, like, can you just use us for a political pawn too? And we got swing states. We can't even get talked about. I mean, we can't even get used. At least the Big Ten's getting used. We can't even get used by anybody. Nobody cares about the Pac-12 enough to even use us.
Yeah, because the Big Ten is the go-to for anybody quitting anything right now. Like, I, you know, quit our college fantasy football league this year, so I'm the Big
Ten. The Big Ten?
I'm not even the Pac-12. Like, Pac-12 isn't even being insulted.
I know.
Man, the Pac-12 is the last one at the bar.
It is.
That you're trying to just, hey,
nobody
what's your name?
Gives a
Betty.
Damn.
Betty.
The Pac-12 is drunk Betty at the end of the night.
Yep.
Pac-12 hey, last call Betty. Oh.
Yeah, Betty last call. You walked. You got their head on a swivel. Damn, everybody gone. Who's that over there? Hey, I'm Betty.
I wish it wasn't true, man. I wish it wasn't true.
Hey, you know how you do it? Let me look out the door first, see if all my boys gone before I take Betty out there front door.
All right, everybody's gone. Let's go.
Hey, come on, Betty. Betty, walk faster.
You text the Uber driver and tell him to meet you in the back. All right, meet me in the alley. I'm coming that way. Yes, it's me and somebody else. Drive quickly. Get out of here.
Wendy brings up a great point in our little text group. You know, we've talked in the past about, have you ever met a baby Fred? Like, do you ever know a baby Freddy? Have you ever met a baby Betty?
No.
No.
I don't think they exist.
I haven't.
They just come out, grown woman. Boom, Betty at the bar.
We were talking last night about, because Freddie Freeman still goes by Freddie. Like, at some point, does he transition to Frederick Freeman? Freddie's kind of a kid's nickname. Frederick Freeman, he's been in baseball for a decade now.
I was thinking the same thing a couple days ago. Like, when do you take the Freddie off and just call yourself Fred?
Fred, Frederick, I don't know.
Soon. Fred Freeman.
We can just do it. He's Fred now. Fred Freeman.
Man, please. Messed up Molly at the bar. All right. Give me one more of those shots.
Oh, that's the Pac-12.
Yeah. But that's how they do it.
Not sloppy seconds. We're like drunk fourths.
Drunk fourths. The one that snores.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Pac-12 definitely snores.
Yeah.
Breathes with their mouth open, snores. Tries to stay for breakfast and you don't want them to. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour, half an hour away from Jason Longshore. It's match day for Atlanta United here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.